Good morning, 6:21 a.m. August. Yikes. August the 22nd, 2013. A mostly cloudy morning. There's breaks in the clouds. But for the most part, there's a relatively solid cloud deck up there. It's kind of thin in places. And the moon is peeking through. 16-minute first mile, good. We're good with that. 16 minutes on the front half, 17 minutes on the back half. See if we can maintain that pattern. Yesterday was a editing day. Worked on the hardcovers, or the paperbacks, not the hardcovers. Worked on the galley proof for Half Shirt came in yesterday, and that was, other than working with the foreign rights people and the trying to get Quarter Share actually released in paperback, irritating. There's a 24-hour file review period, so when you file a book, you have to wait for 24 hours for them to look your book over. And first time, the cover process was perfect. It took the cover off of a PDF and planted it squarely on the cover where I wanted it. The galleys for Quarter Share, from a cover perspective, were perfect. But I wanted to upgrade the cover because I finally have permission from Sky and Telescope to use their sky charts as a graphical design element for the paperback covers. I'm not going to put that on the ebook covers because the ebook thumbnails are too small to actually show it. But for the paperbacks, it's kind of nice. And the problem is that when I uploaded the new cover, it resized that one little element on the spine. I think I mentioned it yesterday, the star. So I spent a lot of time yesterday trying to figure out a way to prevent that from happening. And what I ultimately wound up doing was sizing everything, every layer, to the same size as the bottom, and then clipping it so that it was exactly 12 and a half, which is what the length of the cover is, 2/6 plus a half inch for the spine. 6.5 by 9. 12.5 by 9. And that's the trim size. And it worked out, I think. Because I didn't get we had to resize your cover because it was the wrong size error on the upload for the cover. So typically the resize happens because it's off by a quarter of an inch or something, and it does a little song and dance. It doesn't actually trim it, just scales it. And the problem is that I think if it goes into a scaling routine, then it runs into problems. So I was careful to slice and dice and trim it so that there was no conflict on the edges, including the bends from cover to spine. So we'll see. I should see that come back this morning, and I'll be able to tell. In the meantime, I've still got Half Share to go through. It's not quite in as bad a shape as Quarter Share. I'm still finding places where I need to correct, tweak, and modify. So there's that. And today's also move-in day for the elder daughter. So everybody's up already and moving this morning. I've got to take the younger daughter to school just before 7. And then come back and help load up the van. And then we'll have to take stuff up and downstairs. I don't know where her room is, what floor it's on, but as a freshman, it's probably on the 4th floor. At least on the 3rd. I don't know how many floors there are in her dorm. So I will get my exercise today. I probably won't get very much writing done, very much production work done. That's okay. See what we can do. So yeah, let's see. That's about it for looking ahead for the day. I'm trying to think of anything that I was particularly engaged with yesterday. There was a good discussion on competition, Amazon and the competition with Big Pub. And yeah, I appreciate, I think Steve Jacobs has made the assessment that I was being a bit unreasonable by suggesting that if they wanted to compete with Amazon, they had to just start selling stuff other than books. But the point really is, publishers don't sell to readers. Amazon sells to readers. If there's a competition, it's for, and Steve did hit on this quite nicely, it's for who gets to set the rules. And the publishers have been the ones setting the rules for 100 years. And now that's not necessarily the case. And they don't like it, and I don't blame them, but the market has moved on. And until and unless they decide that they want to start publishing ebooks, like Bain has done with the Bain Free Library, which is a brilliant move, although their movement to only putting up partial books and samples has pretty much convinced me never to buy another one from them again. There are a few full titles, but they're very limited. And Bain's offerings seem quite limited in general these days. So, yeah. That was one thing that came across the interwebs this morning that kind of caught my eye and made me go, really? Really? And that's something about, are you happy that your tax dollars go to Walmart? And the thrust of it was that since Walmart doesn't pay full-time help, they don't pay benefits, which means Medicaid picks up the medical expenses for Walmart employees, and the logical leap was that we therefore are sending our tax dollars to Walmart. Monk Pull. Well, I appreciate that that's one perception of it. I'm pretty sure that tax dollars go to people on, you know, the government assistance. It goes to people who need it. And that the right answer is not to stop government assistance programs, thereby putting people who are in the most need at the most risk, and further undermining the dangerously close to extinction, the endangered middle class. But the right answer is to stop shopping at Walmart and rewarding their business practices. You know, not shopping at Walmart doesn't seem to be that big a deal. Although I suppose if they're the only store in town, you have a problem. It's like me and bookstores. If I don't see bookstores in town anymore, we don't live in a town that has a bookstore. The next, as I said yesterday, the next nearest bookstore is like 35 miles away. And while in many ways 35 miles is next door here in the West, it's not where I'm going to go to pick up a $4 paperback. Spending $7 in gasoline to pick up a $4 paperback, or even to pick up several $4 paperbacks, isn't really a viable model for me when I can sit at my desk and say, oh yeah, send me one of those by ebook and have it immediately. So it's an interesting challenge, it's an interesting dilemma, it's an interesting howdy-do. So are bookstores still significant players? And how significant is significant? It's an interesting question. It's one that Dan Sawyer and I have been banging around, and he's 100% convinced that you know, it's an important channel to get books out, and he's, you know, he's in San Francisco. He's in a place where there are a lot of bookstores. He's in a place where he's seeing a lot of growth in the independent bookstore movement. But that's San Francisco. And you know, part of it is it's got to be significant against the amount of effort required. And my marketing has never been about putting books in bookstores. It's never been about advertising. I'm going to do that next month. But it's never been about trying to get my books in front of everybody possible. It's trying to get my books in front of only those people who want to read them. Which is an interesting challenge, because you have to know the people before they're going to be, you can be able to determine whether or not they're going to be interested in reading your books. And what I rely on is that my readers know their friends better than I do. And so my readers promote my books to their friends. And that's worked really well. Good morning. You know, 22,000 people on audio and another 20,000 or so in print. That's worked really well. So, will it do better if I take advantage of some of these other venues in terms of getting the books out? Putting the books up on iBook has been a complete and utter waste of time. In spite of the fact that I have now sold a copy of one book. The channel friction on iBook for someone who does not have a Macintosh is ridiculous. Quarter share is now up, and double share is now up. Half share and full share are still in review. Half share has been refused twice. And full share still has not been either accepted or refused once yet. Oh no, I take that back. Full share was refused too. So it's on its second pass. But it's an interesting challenge. It's an interesting question. It's like, is it really significant to put my books in a shelf in the back of a bookstore that might get 200 visitors a day, fewer than 50 of whom are going to be interested in science fiction genre as a whole, and some very small subset of those 50 are going to be interested in trade format paperbacks? You know, is that enough to warrant selling 3 copies to make $6? Granted, to put the book in front of 3 people who might then turn around and recommend the book to their friends. But seriously? Is there, you know, it's 1,000 words an hour. Wouldn't I be better spent writing another 1,000 words? Or working on the edits, or almost anything, than spending 5 or 6 hours trying to get a book into a bookstore. And in reality, all I'm really trying to do is to put together a catalog and get it in front of bookstore buyers. And the probability of any of the 2,000 or 3,000 bookstores in the country actually carrying the book is so small. The probability of actually making a sale is so minuscule. You know, if I were only selling a book a day across 10 titles, 8 titles, I guess is what I've got online right at the moment. 7 titles, actually, is what I've got online at the moment. If I was only selling a book a day across all 7 titles, then yeah, I can see where, you know, getting an extra 5 or 6 might make a difference. It's a 25% improvement. I sell so many books that it's just, really? Is that the best way to spend my time? I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced I'm right either, which is one of the problems I'm having and one of the reasons I've now talked about this 2 days in a row. So, you know, at what point does the bookstore become irrelevant? In my life, and for the life of 100,000 people who live here in Greeley, that time came when they closed Hastings. And the reason Hastings closed was that probably it came before that. Hastings was a chain store that sold books here in town. Ooh, 18 minutes on the second. I really did slow down on the second half. Probably just as well. I'm going to need my strength later in the morning, like in an hour. Anyway, I made it around. Thanks for Craig Stepp and Dave Slusher for inviting me along on the dog days of podcasting. Summer challenge. It's about 3 of us who haven't missed a day yet. So far, I'm still in that number and looking forward to pushing that forward through the end of the month. Only 8, 9 more days and I'll have done it. So I am at the back gate. Tomorrow is another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.